Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. There's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Real ghost stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener finds that her doppelganger is everywhere she goes. Everywhere you want to be.
That's what I was thinking of.
Visa. Baker finds that he is not alone during the early hours of his shift. Couple finds that the apartment they're about to rent may have a negative history. And a regular at a local bar finds it is too hard to leave the party. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Jenny, talk, because I have to cough.
Okay. So which of the headlines are you most interested in?
You see, now you threw it back at me. What if I was in a coughing fit over there?
Well, then I would have done something else.
You would have talked like me. You'd have been like, well, I'm looking forward to.
No, I would not have done that.
Just like when I try and talk like you when you're not here.
That's weird.
I do that sometimes, and I even dress in leopard print.
That's very Bates Motel-ish.
But only half of me. I do kind of like the guy on...
the half and half.
The half?
Like you're going to sing the music video and...
Kind of. I was thinking more like Last Man on Earth, where he had like the half of the hair and half the head. So yeah, half of me, I dress like you, and then half of me, and I just kind of flip from mic to mic and have a conversation back and forth. They're amazing episodes. You really should listen to them.
You get more disturbing by the moment.
It's great. I even wear like a half bra.
That's not even a doable thing.
I just took it one level worse.
Thank you for that.
No problem. You're never going to want to miss a show again,
like
are you?
Eye patch for your boob.
It kind of is when you're doing that. It really is. That's how I make it work.
Okay.
That's how I make it work. What am I interested in? I'm interested in the baker one. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Because I remember we had a baking story or a bakery story a while back on an EPP episode. It was one of those episodes that I like really, I believe it was an interview or something. And it was really, really produced up. Had a lot of neat effects to it. And it was a story where they had the big baking ovens. And you know what I'm talking about. The giant... When you open and close that door, it's a feat because they're pretty heavy. And in that story, they were like opening and closing, slamming back and forth. So I don't know why, but I mean, just the idea of being in the bake shop that early in the morning, which a lot of the bakers have to do, I could just see that being kind of a creepy atmosphere.
Sure.
So I'm excited about that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email Jenny your audio file if you record it on your smart device. Just want to send it that way. That works great for a lot of our folks who listen overseas from the United States or outside of the U.S. That way you can avoid having to do the long-distance phone call and still let your voice be heard on your story. You can email Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So let's go to our first story today. Christina writes in, "Hey, guys, I was just catching up on your podcast and had to write in. I was listening to Past Death from March 9th. My heart stopped in my chest. Marisha recounted her memory about remembering a past death. The similarities between us are eerie. Before I get too far into my story, I'd like to mention that I'm also an empath. Thank you, Jenny, for helping me know that. Before I started listening to your show, I had no idea. Being drained and getting migraines from other people's emotions is a lot to take. Understanding the situation has made it a lot easier to deal with, so thank you for giving me the gift of understanding. In addition to being an empath like Marisha, I have a memory of a late-night car accident. First recalled having the memory when I was about 12 years old, and like Marisha, this particular situation has never happened to me. In the memory, it's a dark night. I'm on a four-lane rural highway near a four-way light. I'm in the driver's seat of the car that is flipped onto its roof. The car is on the wrong side of the road in addition to being upside down. I remember the silence. It's so quiet that I can hear the click of the lights change quietly from yellow to red to green. I can feel the broken safety glass and damp asphalt under my arm. I just watch the traffic lights change over and over while the life slips out of my body. A chilling memory. I also had a great fear of driving. I didn't get my driver's license until I was 21. The fear of driving was debilitating for a long time. I came to realize that this was most probably a past life. It didn't feel like a prophetic dream. I've had these before and they never felt the same or lasted as long. I also believe that it was a past life because it's not the only past life that I've recalled. When I was 3 years old and my grandmother was watching me, I was talking to one of my uncles. I apparently told him that I'd crossed the plains in a covered wagon, could describe the oil lamp in great detail, and talked about a sister dying from one of those diseases that you only hear about in Oregon Trail. But I never heard of Oregon Trail until years later. Hearing a three-year-old recount that story scared the hell out of my uncle. Though I'd have to take their word for it, I have no memory of this incident. That's my story. So hopefully someone else is having similar experiences will bring Marisha a little peace. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. Hope you both have a great day. Christina.
I've always wondered with people that can remember their past lives, how many past lives can they remember? Or is it just the most recent? But in this case, it sounds like at least two.
Yeah, it's interesting. And with that comes the whole thought process also of, is it a past life that they are actually remembering? Or is it more like a, you know, an image mm-hmm. or a story that someone wants to be told? And essentially, you're getting kind of like the carbon copy of it in you. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's not you that lived it. It's not your soul that lived it. It's another soul that somewhere in the passing of whatever you want to call it, they gave that to you. And I think that could probably even happen once you're alive. It's not even necessarily something that's like pre-birth or anything like that. It's just, this is the person I want to tell this story. I'm giving them this memory to share.
Sure.
That's something I wonder about, because I think past life is always jumped to because these memories are so vivid and they're viewed from the perspective of the person who would have lived them. But it kind of puts a whole other angle on it.
Could that not be the explanation for all past lives then?
It theoretically could be. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that past lives don't exist or that's not true or real. I'm just saying I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, hey, here's another way of looking at it as well. Consider this option too. Not that we're ever going to know the answer to the options, but it's an interesting one. It's yeah. In the same way how some people, when they're they're having a paranormal experience, sometimes they say they just get the knowledge. They just get this piece of information. Mm-hmm. And it's not always like viewed from the perspective of someone. It's just a piece of information like downloaded into them.
Sure.
So essentially you can kind of have the audible version of the information of, I died over there. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you get the nice HD video that was from that person, and they're giving you that memory that way.
Either way, you're paranormally given information that you would not otherwise have.
Sure. So it's all paranormal. Mm-hmm. It's just, is it always a past life?
Yeah.
That's the question I have on that. But good story. Mm-hmm. I like that. Thank you for writing in and sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Danny says, hi, guys. Been listening for close to a year now, but this is my first time writing in. Never really believed in the paranormal before all this happened, but it's strange and has at least made me more open to the idea. Regardless, I find these things very interesting, which lead me to your show. Anyway, this all started about 4 years ago. Over the span of a few months, I had multiple people tell me I had a doppelganger. My dad had just got a new job and told me there was a girl who worked there who looked exactly like me. He'd never spoken with her, but he would see her around the campus. He works for a company with a lot of buildings, so he probably hasn't even run into half the people he works with, let alone know their names or job titles. A friend of mine told me she almost went up to someone she saw at the mall because she thought it was me, but realized it couldn't have been because I was at work. After hearing this a few times, I obviously became very curious. Not really unique looking in any way, but I've never seen anyone I thought looked that similar. A few months after people started telling me about the sightings, I was out at the bar. I don't typically go to clubs. I prefer to sit and have a beer, but I was out for a friend's birthday, so there I was. It was packed with people everywhere, but across the room, someone caught my eye. I saw a girl about my height, blonde hair halfway down her back, flannel shirt, and a purse strapped around her. Almost the exact thing I was wearing, only different colors. She didn't turn around before I could look at her face, and I'd already had a few, so I brushed it off. A few months later, I was at a music festival. I had about an hour break before the next band I wanted to see played, so I left my group and went to find some food. That day, I was wearing a pair of jeans, combat boots, a crew neck, and had a flannel tied around my waist. I saw her again, even though I was 8 hours from my hometown. She was wearing the same style outfit as I was only, it was only different colors and brands. This is not an uncommon outfit at a festival, but this time, I saw her face. I thought she was quite far from me. It looked exactly like me. She was wearing glasses similar to mine and everything. I need to mention, I part my hair very far to the side. My part starts right where my right eyebrow ends, so it's noticeable. Her hair is parted the same, just the opposite side. It was almost as if it was a mirror image of myself. I was too far away to catch up to her. I don't think I would have done it, even if I could have. Noticed her two or three more times after that, always in a busy place. The last time I saw her was last summer. I was wearing shorts, a t-shirt, and a fanny pack because I was at an amusement. The line for the coaster split into two sides, so there were people waiting directly across from me. I went to the park with four other friends, and of course, this was my turn to get in the single ride lane. I saw her. She was across from me, and to the left were the group of girls. She was wearing shorts, a t-shirt, and a fanny pack. This time, though, I did notice a key difference. I have quite a few tattoos. I have a half sleeve visible when I'm wearing a t-shirt, and I have about a quarter of my left leg done. Her skin was bare, but other than it was like looking at a mirror. She's always too far away to get in time. I'm always by myself when I see her, so I can't quickly grab a friend to see if they can see it too. She's never acknowledged me, and I don't get any type of vibe from her. I just feel curious and slightly nervous because it's so weird. Could be a coincidence. It just feels like something more. Have you ever heard of something like this? Anytime I'm out in a busy place, I now keep my phone in my hand in hopes of snapping a picture, but I haven't seen her in almost a year. Any thoughts are welcome. Thank you for listening.
I think the closest thing we've heard of to this is where somebody sees who they think is another person that they know, and they go up to talk to them, and when that person turns around, it's not who they think it is, but then they end up running into that exact same person that same day.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens almost like without fail.
Mm-hmm.
Just religiously
you know, they find they run into the doppelganger before they run into that person.
Sure. The only thing I can think of that's kind of similar is back to the old Unsolved Mystery days.
Mm-hmm.
And remember some of those episodes where it would be about twins, like separated at birth?
Sure.
So number one, rule out that you don't have a twin that you're separated from at birth. Okay, so go have that conversation with mom and dad. Once you've ruled that out or discovered, hey, they've been keeping something from you for quite a long time. That's just an interesting thing because there was, you know, a lot of stories similar where, you know, Gertrude on this side of the country did all these things and it was like very similar
mm-hmm.
in order and dress and interest and everything. And then Hilda on the other side of the country had very similar interests and all that as well. I'm using old names because I remember the episodes and they were very old women at the time and they had names like that.
Okay.
So that's why I'm going with those names.
You know, they say everybody has a twin and there's something to that.
Sure.
You know, whether or not it's somebody that just looks strikingly similar or if there's some kind of connection. I don't know.
Mine was Al Capone.
Yep. You're Al Capone's twin. You are.
I get that a lot, which is kind of creepy. Remember, there was used to be a website called... it was like, what celebrity do you look like? And you put the photo in and then it like scanned every celebrity photo and like, here's what you look like. I got that one. It's like, well, I guess it's not Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and it's not BTK, but I don't know that it's all that much better either.
No.
You know, it's like, oh, this is creepy. I didn't know like they would put like, you know, serial killers and stuff into the celebrity database of who you may or may not look like.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit. So,
yeah,
there you go. I've never had any other celebrities for me that
no.
I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm, I don't know. My fairly, do I look different with the hair or without the hair?
I think you're Al Capone either way.
Either way.
Yeah.
It's like either a young Al Capone or an older Al Capone.
Yeah,
it's
pretty much.
Two. There you go. Jen writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I put a call in several weeks ago, but haven't heard it yet. I was outside on a windy day, so it just might have been bad quality. I'm also behind an episode, so maybe I just haven't gotten to it yet. Nevertheless, I wanted to sort of take up my experiences that my roommate, another caller of yours, and I have experienced. My roommate had called, talking about her death sense, as well as the creature in her room. And yes, I'm the roommate that doesn't exactly experience things myself. I think that's changed for us. I think Sarah is a flashing neon sign to whatever is out there, and they almost flock to her. I know it sounds crazy, but hear me out. We've been living together for close to 7 years, not in the same residence or even in the same town. We both are pretty persnickety when it comes to roommates. We just sort, work for whatever reason. Each place we've lived at, however, has had an activity of some kind or another at varying levels of intensity. I have so many I can tell you, but I want to start with an almost funny encounter that she had. The last place we lived in was a small two-bedroom apartment. I'm a notoriously heavy sleeper, and Sarah is, well, the exact opposite. No matter how quiet I am, I always manage to somehow wake her up. One morning at about 5 a.m., she opens the door to my room and manages to wake me up. She asked if I had just taken my dog, Penny, out. Penny's collar at the time had her ID tag as well as her rabies vaccination tag, so anytime she shook her coat, which she did every single time she got up, they would rattle. I tell her no, I hadn't, and I admit I was probably not very nice about it, but I'm not a morning person. I don't like being woken up in the first place. One of my flaws, I guess. She gave me a funny look, but she said okay, and she closed the door. When we were finally up for the day, I asked her what was with the weird question. She said that she had been sleeping and then heard Penny in the hallway, jiggling her tags like she does every morning and me whispering, not so quietly, for her to hush, which is how I usually react if I have to take Penny out in the middle of the night. She said she kind of lost her temper and said out into the hallway that if I was trying to be quiet, I was doing a shitty job of it. She said what followed next was silence, so still that it was unnatural. That's when she got up out of bed and actually to check the hallway. We weren't there. We were both still fast asleep in my room, so it would seem that Sarah had apparently just ripped a ghost, a new one, for being noisy. I have more stories to tell about my experiences in living with Sarah that I'll be happy to share in the future. Until then, have a great day, Jen. Jen, thank you for sharing your story. That's an interesting one where you have the one roommate who sees the things and experiences the things, the others who's not so much, but when the two collide, and then the one who's not so sensitive has a realization on it. Kind of puts everything more into perspective. I think it goes back to the level at which everyone sees and feels things. Some are more sensitive, some are not so much. Thank you for submitting that experience for us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And remember, if you like what we got going on here, become an EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get all of our bonus episodes, nearly 100 of them now. Exclusive video material and more. We just keep adding more and more stuff to the EPP programs. And the extras even beyond the programs to really try and make it worth your while. It's a big thank you for allowing us to do this show and helping to keep it on the air. $5 a month is all it is. Or you can sign up for a full year, $55, and you get one of those months for free. So not bad of a deal there. If you like the show, you'll probably keep listening the whole year. So might as well save a little bit and just go in for the full year. And like I said, that's what keeps this thing on the air. We have a lot of hard costs with doing the show. Bandwidth being a major one as far as the amount of people downloading the show, which is great, but it costs money. And, you know, just the production aspect of it, the cost for the equipment, the cost for the website, the graphic work, everything that we have, that we do, that we create. You know, there's we put some money into it to give you the best show we possibly can. So we can only do what you guys make possible with those donations of being EPPs. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Kevin writes in, hi, I'm from Glasgow, Scotland, an avid paranormal fan and new listener. I absolutely love the show and going to become an EPP very soon. So keep up the great work. Thank you. My story is back from when I was about 4 years old. This particular night, I had gone to my bed as per usual and opened the blinds on my bedroom window so the street light would shine through. I was kind of scared of the dark. I'd done this as it would cast its light onto my bedroom door and make me feel calmer and safer. Later this night, I was woken suddenly, and my first reaction was to look at my door. To my absolute horror, all I could see was complete black fingers starting to curl around my bedroom door. Now frozen solid with fear, I continued to watch as a black silhouette of a head slowly edged out from behind my door to look at me for at least 30 seconds. I can see no face, just the shape of someone standing looking at me from just behind my door. In agonizing fear, I leapt from my bed, screaming the whole street down. I somehow gained the courage to run at the door and open it while switching my bedroom light on at once, just to see nothing but my black cat Corey's eyes reflect to me in the dark as he spat at me and ran down the hall, to which I let out another huge scream. I immediately ran to my mom's bed to find that everyone in the house was fast asleep before I had woken them with my screaming, so it wasn't anyone checking in on me. I'm 36 now and can still remember this horrible night so vividly to the point my hair stands. My brother and sister say this could have possibly been a nightmare, but I know for certain this is real and will haunt me forever. Thank you for listening. Those are some of the most troubling situations where it's so vivid and it's so real. And you know for a fact it was not a nightmare. Yet you still, part of you wants to write it off as that because that would make it less scary and less traumatic. I guess all I can say is be happy that that was, hopefully, you haven't shared more yet, but hopefully the only time in your life where you'll have to experience something like that. I think a lot of us, I don't know if it's getting lucky or if it's just the law of averages, maybe only have one or two things in life that get to be like that, where it's an unexplained experience. Some? None. Hopefully that's where it stands. By the way, in case you're wondering, Jenny's not just sitting in the corner pretending she's a mime right now. Although she does like to do that sometimes. She'll put on the white paint and then pretend she's in a box holding a balloon, stuff like that. But today she's not doing that. She actually had to step out because at the time that we are recording this, our older daughter is in science camp, and I believe today they did something with a soda bottle, and I believe it also involved Mentos. I'll get the full report in just a little bit, but she had to go pick her up from that. So it's you and me for the rest of the show. Jonathan writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, my name is Jonathan. I live in Williamsburg, Virginia. I've been listening for about a year now, and I love your show. Recently became an EPP, and the special features are excellent." Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. "I had many unusual experiences over the years, quite a few from growing up in an old farmhouse built in the 1770s in rural Pennsylvania. But this is probably the creepiest story from when I lived and worked in Vermont. This incident takes place back in 2002. At the time, I was a baking and pastry instructor at a culinary school in Vermont. I taught at the school's open to the public bakery right in downtown. The bakery was a corner unit on the Main Street intersection and was connected to sort of a small indoor shopping area built probably in the 80s or early 90s. The bakery itself was a large space, and the baking area was separated from the counter and customer area with large glass windows so customers could watch the students at work. I remember this event very clearly because it was early Sunday morning. Being a new instructor, I worked Sundays, which was tough time to work because it typically was the only day the students did not have a class. So they would sign up to work for money, so getting help was luck of the draw. I'd arrived around 1 a.m., locked myself in the building, and went right into production mode. I was at the mixer station, which was situated right in front of one of the large windows where customers could look in. I was facing the window working with dough and the large mixer, and I vividly remember looking up, and there standing in profile in front of the window was a woman with her brown hair up in a bun on her head, and she was wearing a pink Victorian-style dress. I froze and just didn't know what to think. I then looked down quickly and back up, and she was gone. I stood for a minute kind of trying to make sense of it, and then went out into the seating customer area to see if there was someone who was in there, perhaps through an unlocked door. There was no one. And as I had thought, both the front door and side door that went into the indoor shopping area were both locked. I sort of brushed it off and went on with the day, but a week later I was at work on a day students had class. The class I was teaching started at 2 a.m., so I arrived at 1 a.m. to get prep lists down and go over lessons for the day. It was very rare that I would ever see the nighttime pastry instructor, but on this day, he happened to be finishing putting the last touches on a wedding cake as I came into the office. We were chatting, and just out of curiosity, I said, "Adrian, I know you are here by yourself sometimes and wanted to ask you something. The other night, I saw this woman standing out in the seating area, and then she vanished." He then quickly interrupted me and asked, "Was she wearing a pink dress?" I replied, "Yes." He got really quiet and said, "I've seen her too." We both found out later that we were that where the bakery and indoor shopping area are now located, there had been a home that had burned down around 1890. Thanks so much for all you guys do. Write it again with other stories I have from growing up in a house, and I'm very convinced it was haunted. Have a wonderful day. Well, thank you for that one. There's a lot of creepy imagery there, sitting somewhere, kind of by yourself, super late at night, looking out this window, and there is someone who should not be there. I don't know what's creepier, if they were right there in the room with you, or the fact that they were beyond the glass and you couldn't directly interact and it took some time to get there to interact if you attempted to, which you did. I don't know what would be the creepier of the two. Only thing I can compare that to or relate that to is back in the day at a radio station I worked at, my hometown station, back in Wisconsin, in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. We had a studio window. And it's still there, that outlooks onto Main Street. And back then, we would do radio late into the night. I know now most radio stations are what's called voice-tracked or all completely pre-recorded DJs. Nobody's really in there in most cases. But back then, we were. We were there pretty late. And I remember being in there, 11 o'clock at night, 1 in the morning sometimes. And being downtown in that area, you get a lot of interesting characters that would walk by. I believe that town is ranked amongst like the top 15 drunkest towns in the United States. So you get a lot of interesting folks at that hour of the morning with many bars. Like you could see four of them just by looking out the window. And then sometimes you'd get folks that were beyond just a little bit inebriated, where it was almost, I guess you could say, kind of Walking Dead-ish. And it's not, there's in no way a reference to anyone homeless or anything like that. It was more so just very spooky, odd characters that would sometimes walk around that that were not inebriated. I know we're not part of the homeless population, which there really wasn't a whole lot of at that time in that town. And a lot of them you got to know because we talked and walked around downtown, you know, we're friendly and had, you know, somewhat of a relationship there. It was just, where did this person come from? Who are they? It was not a big town. And it was kind of troubling sometimes, especially I remember sometimes where you'd see somebody like, what the heck was that? And then you run around because you sometimes just see something out of the corner of your eye out that window. And I remember running around out of the studio, out to the front door, which is just around the corner, a little U-turn. And you go out and you look around the corner and there's nobody there. Now, I'm not saying I had a ghostly experience or anything like that for sure, but there were certainly some questionable times where you go, where did that person go? That just, it didn't look right. I'm just curious who they were, where they were, and nowhere to be seen. But lots of stories around that area of things and people and such. Hey, look who's back. I was just sharing the story of where you had to go. Was today soda bottle day?
It was bubble day.
Bubble day.
Tomorrow, soda bottle day.
Okay, because I remember I put the soda bottle out for her last night, so I wasn't sure if there was Mentos and soda involved. Bubble day. How was bubble day?
It went really well, I guess. She came home with a stick with a huge rope on it. I don't know.
Oh, so you make bubbles out of it.
Okay.
That's like a bubble wand.
Well, she's been drinking exuberant amounts of soda just to get the bottles. So
she's been drinking exuberantly.
No.
The day. Like she's nine. What are they teaching in science camp? Today, kids, we're going to learn about alcohol. Be interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I got to ask her how they made because they made like thicker bubbles, you were saying.
She said they put her hand in them. She said if your hand is wet and clean, you can put your hand in it.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I got to learn. I had to take science camp myself.
Yeah.
Who are you, sir? This is really for 9-year-olds. Might be a little awkward. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Courtney writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I wrote in once before, but this time it's something that happened to me this morning. And I've only had it happen to me once before this. So the first time this happened, I was asleep at my boyfriend's house taking a nap. I had a dream. I was talking to my deceased step-grandfather. I don't remember the conversation at all, but I remember getting a hug. I could not see him at all the whole time. All I saw was a very bright light, like a one that can only be similarly described as the light when you cross over. I had a huge sense of comfort and happiness. I didn't know even to this day why he came to me in a dream. It sort of freaked me out. When I woke up, my boyfriend told me I had been talking in my sleep, the sort of thing you do when you're like half conscious and you can hear your surroundings. Not sure what to think, I brushed it off. Also, this was only about 5 months after he had passed. Today I have a lot of makeup work to do for my college courses, so I had planned on waking up at 8:40 to get ready to go to my college and start getting some lab reports done. My alarm went off and I woke up. I wasn't tired anymore and I knew I had things to do, but something urged me to go back to sleep, and so I did. When I fell back asleep, I came to a weird dream. An elderly lady, one that I wasn't familiar with, came and talked to me. Showed me her house and her family and pictures on her wall. Outside in the backyard was a pool. I remember a dark burgundy staircase. It glistened. It was beautiful. After she showed me her house, I knew she was my boyfriend's great-grandma, that she had passed away. I didn't get the same light feeling I had gotten from my grandpa, but it also wasn't a completely negative feeling. We talked without saying words, but it was our body language, and we understood it all, or maybe we were reading each other's minds. Either way, our language was unique. She told me she needed me to tell him it was going to be okay. and that she loved him, and that he was going to cry. But I got mad because she had to let go and move on. And she told me it was her time and there was nothing she could do about it. I was upset because he missed her and she was the only person who was really there for him, and I felt his pain. I told her I missed my great-grandfather, and she said she had something to show me, but that she needed the peace in helping her move on. And the only way, if I told him that it was okay, that she loved him, the family, etc. What she then showed me was like a dream puzzle. My whole family got together to celebrate my great-grandpa, even though he was deceased. No one else knew this, but his dead body was sitting up on the couch across from me. They couldn't see him, but I could. Something happened in the house that was not good, and in that instant, my great-grandpa came back to life. Scared, I ran and got my stepmom and asked her, and she came out and said she didn't know what I was talking about. I ran over to him and gave him a big hug. I don't know what that had to do with anything. Maybe she wanted me to do her a favor, and she gave me a favor by showing me him when I wanted to see him. So when I woke up, I opened my phone to look at the time and got a bunch of texts from my boyfriend freaking out, and one of them was, "My great-grandma passed away this morning." I'd already known that from my dream and was about to tell him I had the weirdest dream, but instead, I told him I needed to see him and talk to him in private about it. We met up shortly after that. I told him my dream and what she said, and he started crying, and I just stood there and held him as he cried. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of dreams, like deja vu, like a lot. At other times, I have dreams of people in my family or friends are sick or hurt, and I wake up to find my dream was right. I'm not sure if I'm a psychic or something, or if I'm just more in tune with the spirit world than other people, but it's happened to me my whole life, the deja vu is. And recently, since the last 4 to 5 years, it has gotten to be very often. Deja vu is almost every day, and everything seems to be happening a lot now. Just not sure how to interpret all of it. If you want to call me, you can. I'd really like some input on this. It would be helpful in understanding what is going on. I appreciate your show and all that you do. With love, Courtney.
You know, deja vu is a weird one because it kind of could be other things. It could be past lives. It can be premonitions of the future. It just kind of masks itself.
Sure.
It's just a general feeling of having already done this before or knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to know. It's hard to know. And the way that the great-grandmother came to her in the dream to relay a message to her great-grandson, you know, I think she's just got a heightened sense in that, and the people crossing over seem to know that.
And she found her to be probably the closest person to him that she could get that message to.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's like you if you're gone, and you start examining the world around you and who's around the people that you love, if that person themselves maybe not would not have the ability to get the message, well, who else, who do they trust?
Well, and just to prove that it was who they said they were coming through, you almost need a neutral party, like somebody who doesn't know the great-grandmother.
Sure.
But still knows the person who the message needs to be given to.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Good story. Thank you for sharing that. Sammy writes in, "Hi, gang. Hope this email finds you well. Just listen to the episode where Tony talked about the missing head on his old apartment complex." Oh, yeah. I talked about that a couple of times.
Yeah.
"This reminded me of a weird encounter we had with a rental property." That's a fun lead-in. "Hey, speaking of that, I'm about to become an EPP as I'm excited about the ghost photos." Well, thank you for that, and you'll enjoy them. "I'm a pro photographer, so I find spirit photography fascinating." Well, hopefully you too can submit some of your ghost photos for a future episode of that. "My fiance had grown tired of our rental home and started exploring the city for places to stay. We had some issues finding a place within our budget, as the rental property value in our city is grossly exaggerated. The prices went up when greedy-ass real estate companies caught wind of the slew of soldiers and their families coming to the nearby military base. Either way, we found a smaller home not too far from the one we were currently renting. We got excited as it was cheaper and was closer to the park. We made an appointment to meet with the caretaker for a supposed tour. He spoke little English and basically gave us the key and waited in his truck. We thought it was odd because he didn't seem to want to come to the house. We eagerly walked in and instantly were welcomed with heavy air, almost like walking into a bathroom after someone had showered. The place was spacious, nice, and had lots of natural light, and then I found my first dark joke. I seem to be psychic when it comes to my jokes, and I always get myself in trouble. Patches of the carpet were missing in the living room, eventually or evenly cut in random spots. The bedroom carpet was removed completely, and dark black stains had soiled the concrete underneath. I leaned into my fiancé and whispered in an evil voice, "Someone got killed here, and we're going to be next." She laughed, and we then turned towards the kitchen after we heard what sounded like someone tapping a knife on the countertop loudly. We thought the caretaker was inside, so we walked into the small kitchen. Patches of the cheap linoleum were missing. The cabinet door was dangling from its hinge. The refrigerator was lying against the wall, and there was a head-sized hole in the wall. There was no one there. Where had the tapping sound come from? My conservative fiancé blurted out the word, "Fuck," as we turned to run. Before we could escape, the caretaker had walked in behind us, and in the most broken English I've heard say, "Yeah, someone is dead. I don't know. I think they had been murdered to death here. And there. And over there. Bad. They were killed in a bad, murdered, you know? No one will clean here sometimes." That's a way to sell a house.
Yeah, exactly.
We slowly walked past him, tossed him the keys, and got the hell out of there. I laughed to this day how bad that was, and even questioned why they even had shown us the property so soon. There have been no reported murders in the paper, as we would have paid attention to it since it was within walking distance to our current home. Best, Sammy.
Well, but there's no telling how long the house had been like that.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been quite a while.
Yeah, it could be that just nobody will go in, mm-hmm. and so that could be very, very old, very old crime scene.
If you're the owner of the property, though, why would you... And you're intending on renting this thing out. Why would you not fix some of this up?
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to rent something like that?
I think that's how you and I think. I think some landlords, unfortunately, and this is not all landlords, but some are just like, whatever, you know, people need a space and I have one and I don't care what kind of shape it's in.
I suppose if your demand is that crazy
mm-hmm.
and you're that selfish or out of touch, I guess it kind of falls into like slumlord
exactly
territory, where it's like, we're not going to fix shit, here's what you get, deal with it. And then I have to make those people deal with, I guess you'd have to deal with the fixes if you want them fixed, if they're not going to change it. Creepy story. I guess that's a fun one to look back on if you have a morbid sense of humor and go, remember that one time?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Tessa writes in, "Dear Tony and Jenny, I've always believed in ghosts. Rather, I believe that you are a being and have a body. When it's your time, your body dies. You're free to do what you want, get a new body, stay around and be with the ones you love, etc. Anyway, this is my story. My aunt, 52 years old, has suffered a battle, an extremely rare form of cancer called, I'm probably not going to say this right, carcinoid? Maybe that's...
I think so.
Okay. It's a very slow-growing cancer that can affect several of the major organs. Being that it's so rare, there's not very much known about this disease. She had battled this cancer for 13 years, was the strongest woman I'd ever seen. Last weekend, she called me to ask if I could come help take care of her on Sunday, as the nurses had Sundays off and she wanted to give her immediate family a rest. I was unprepared for the state that she was in. She had suffered an illness on top of cancer that caused her to lose weight, and between that and the chemo, she was just over 65 pounds. Bear in mind, she's 5'8" tall. To say emaciated does not even begin to explain it. I keep saying the wrong word there.
You just want to emancipate everybody.
I do.
That's so funny.
I say the wrong word when I see emaciated. Uh-huh. Anyway, that's just me not paying attention in spelling class. She had so little muscle left that I had to nearly carry her if she needed to move anywhere. Anyway, this is getting a little dark, so I would lighten it up a bit. It's supposed to be, I think I lightened it up by saying the wrong word.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a calming and reassuring story that I'm trying to tell. She was always the most elegantly dressed, classy woman in any room she walked into. She always wore the most beautiful perfume and had her hair done. As I hugged her goodbye that evening, I remarked how beautiful her perfume smelled on her that day. She said something cute to me like, "Never let your mood affect your style," or something among those lines, like always, quick with a witty comment. I kissed her and headed home. Several days later, I awoke to a phone call from my mom saying that she had passed early that morning. She was peaceful and slipped away in sleep. I felt relieved almost that she no longer had to suffer. Later that morning, I took my grandfather to breakfast before taking him to her house. He was happy with the company. We were standing outside the restaurant waiting for a table, and as I looked at the bookstore across the street, my aunt was a writer. I got an undeniable whiff of her sweet perfume. There was no one standing next to me but my grandfather. I know she wanted me to know she was all right and still there. I apologize for the long and sad intro. I think it's important to note, in a lot of cases, beings get stuck in places. If you're ever in a situation where there's a spirit, try to be in communication. Receive the message it's telling you and tell it it's okay. And go find a new body. Thanks for reading. I'm an EPP and it's great. I look forward to listening to much more. Take care, Tessa.
Have you ever caught a whiff of something that reminded you of somebody that you used to know and it made you wonder if that was them or not?
Not necessarily make me wonder if it was them or not, but I have that jar and it's now packed away that used to be on that shelf right over there that I put lemon drops into. And you open that jar up, it was my grandma's candy jar. It's just an old ball jar with an old metal lid. And every time you open the ball jar, it smells just like their house did.
Yeah.
And my grandma didn't really wear perfume or anything. They didn't have a distinct smell to them, but I know the smell of their house, and in turn, that was kind of the smell they had.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad or really old people-ish or anything. It was just them. But it's weird that every time I open that jar, to this day,
mm-hmm.
I smelled it the other day when I was packing it up. Like, yep, still smells like Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything paranormal going on there.
No.
It's just, I understand, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did have the smell of that cigar.
Well, sure, but that wasn't somebody we knew.
No.
At
least not that I'm aware of, unless it was my mom's dad who reeked of that. So, I mean, I did know someone who smelled like that, but I don't think he's in an antique store in Wichita, Kansas.
No.
You?
Not that I know has passed, but what made me think of this was that my grandfather is in a very, very brittle state right now. You know this, but mm-hmm. our listeners don't. I mean, to the point where any day could be the day.
Sure.
And every now and then, I don't know if it's somebody else like in a store or what it is, but every now and then I catch a whiff of something that kind of smells like his cologne or his just general fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
And with doing what we do, I always wonder, I wonder.
Yeah, are you going to get a call?
Yeah. And so far, that's not been the case. But, like, that happened today to me. For some reason, when we got in the car after lunch, I caught a whiff. And I was just like, you know, it just kind of has me on edge.
Sure. So, has it been happening more frequently?
It has. And it kind of scares me because, I mean, I know that this is coming. But it's just one of those things where you don't know.
Sure.
You know, and he's not close by. So it would be, you know, probably a delay before I'd find out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because we were kind of talking the other day about folks who are getting closer to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And them almost having the ability at some point, especially, you know, when they are not there all the way, you know, mentally anymore.
Right.
When dementia is starting to set in and they're not who they were.
Yeah.
You know, and they just kind of, you know, eventually it gets, you know, that's how my grandma got, mm-hmm. you know, to the point of this is not grandma anymore. And then you start to wonder, you know, are parts of them, you know, moving out and are they able to, you know, almost kind of like do the, you know, out of body experience, for lack of a better term, it's probably called something else at that point, but, you know, visiting other places while still being alive.
Right. Right. And I kind of wondered that if maybe he isn't visiting us.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But it's on the forefront of my mind every time that happens.
Sure. And I understand why.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we get so many stories like that where the person has not passed away yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like they've been visited by them beforehand. But a lot of times they are starting to be in a state like that.
Right.
So it's interesting. Although we have had some where the, you know, woman's like a 35-year-old and, you know, wandering around a campsite. You know,
yeah.
You know, and she's not dead and she's not in any sort of bad state. Then they see her. And you know, that was a creepy one.
That was
cool, but creepy at the same time. Well, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Mary writes, and I was listening to your first anniversary show back in October of 2014. And there was a story but a couple having marital troubles. They sat down and wrote out all the negative things going on in their relationship, and the wife suggested that they burn the list. After burning the list, they felt immediately better. The next day, they started feeling bad again and ended up consulting with his parents, who were superstitious and also apparently did not like the wife. The parents were horrified. They had burned something so negative and sent a charm and some other items to help them. Ultimately, the couple went to therapy and did a lot of work to resolve their issues. And for this lengthy explanation, I'm a Wiccan, have been for over 20 years. We often do spell work that includes writing down things we want to get rid of from our lives, and then we often burn, bury, or cast these lists into water. I avoid the water option to keep our waterways clean. Through many years of this type of work, I learned that afterwards you must create positive energy to replace this empty space created by ridding the negative energy. Otherwise, the negative energy will return. Things I would have suggested to this couple would have included couples therapy, taking time off together and taking off time to themselves, creating positive energy through positive actions. The time it took to create the negative situation has to be counteracted with time spent in positive action. I also work in the mental health industry, and one of the things that we tell clients in therapy is that you'll often feel worse before you feel better. I think it's just life. Feel free to share this on the show or just take this as information offered freely. Love your show. Have a great day.
You know, I like the sentimental significance of taking the problems and getting rid of them after writing them down. I don't know that I would have put so much stock into doing that and, you know, releasing things into the air. It's not like the same as when you try and burn a Ouija board.
Sure.
You know, I think you're just actually getting rid of, you know, bad ideas, not necessarily a negative attachment.
Yeah, or the problems themselves. It's, I agree with the idea, okay, let's take these, move them away, but we have to refill that area of our life with something else, you know? And that's where it takes the effort to refill it.
So maybe instead of burning it, bury it.
Sure.
You know? That won't hurt anything.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for that insight and sharing that. It's funny because, you know, we get these letters where they talk about stuff we've talked about a couple years ago now. I don't remember it. Some I do, some I don't. But it's interesting because some of them do, I do pull back. Lisa writes in, hi, just got a phone that I can get podcasts on and found your show first. Well, thank you. Now, I listen at work every day. I've had some interesting experiences, but I want to tell you the best one. I want to mention first that although I have always believed in the afterlife, I am the most skeptical person and don't believe most stories if I think there's any other possible explanation. So bear that in mind as I tell you this. I'm a musician, and I've been for a number of years. My group was playing in Dallas, Texas in the early 90s at a time, and I was at a venue early to set up. Being the drummer, I like to set up earlier than the rest of the band, as the drummer is always in the back of the band, and you set up first. You're not tripping over other band members in the front later. The reason I tell you this is because this is where my story begins. It was all set up. The rest of the band had arrived and was assembling their things on stage. It was a warm day and I was thirsty, so I walked from the stage across a very large dance floor to a horseshoe-shaped bar and stood at the end of the bar waiting while the owner was cleaning some things. As I waited to ask for some water, I suddenly felt a very distinct grab on both my sides where my ribs are. Much like someone does when they come up behind you to startle you. I must have jumped a foot off the ground and began to laugh as I turned around. To my surprise, there's no one there. Quickly looked all around me, and no one was even close to me at all. So then I looked back to the stage where I saw all the rest of my band still assembling equipment. No one was even paying attention to me. Had any of them touched me, I definitely would have heard them run back there, and honestly, it was so far away that they wouldn't have made it back in a few seconds that all this took place. At this point, my reaction was much like anyone. I was standing there with a somewhat dumbfounded look on my face. The bar owner had finished her cleaning and was approaching me at this point to see what I had wanted, and she noticed the look on my face and asked me what was wrong. I looked at her and said, "You don't have ghosts in here, do you?" And she didn't even laugh, but looked at me and simply said, "Why do you ask?" I quickly relayed my story to her, and she asked if I had some time to come into her office. I didn't know this woman at all, so I was a bit more puzzled, but reluctantly followed her. She went to her desk, retrieved a picture, which she handed to me. I'm getting chills as I type this, even 25 years later. In the picture, there were two girls sitting at the end of the bar on bar stools. It was clearly taken during some sort of party. They were smiling happily, but just behind them was a foggy figure of a man with a mustache, looking as if he is posing with them. I mean, this was clearly not a person, nor was it a double exposure or camera issue. This was a fog, but you could make out a face and a mustache. The bar owner then told me that on numerous occasions, people have been pinched, tickled, and had hair pulled at the end of the bar. They believe that there was a young man with a great sense of humor that still liked to party at the bar. Today, the bar is no longer there, and now I wish I would have asked that lady for a copy of that picture. With the internet, now I wonder if I could track her down and see if she's still around. I may try it. If I find her on that picture, I'll call you. In the meantime, keep up the awesome show. Love from Arlington, Texas.
That would be a great picture to see. I would love that.
That would be. That'd be great for seeing ghosts.
Uh-huh.
So if you can track that picture down, that would be very interesting. Or if you you need some help or have any other pieces of information you want to share, and maybe so we can throw it out there and someone else can add to the mix, you know, I could possibly help you track that down.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to hear more about that and actually see that image. That'd be really cool. There was one image of a restaurant that is no longer here in Wichita, and we actually did that Back for Seconds video there a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And that they have a picture that is actually in that video, and it's up on the website, and it's of the restaurant. It was called Doc's Steakhouse, and it's, I guess, a shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
As clear as you can, there's a shadow of a person where there should be no shadow on the side of the building.
Yeah.
And it was just taken as a, you know, hey, a 1972 photo of, here's our beautiful restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And who is this on the side of the building? There's no one there, but there's a shadow very clearly. And it's very creepy. But you can see that if you search for it on our website. It was called Back for Seconds. So there you go. That wraps up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please become an EPP. Sign up to be one. Keep our show on the air. Get almost 100 bonus episodes of the show at ghostpodcast.com. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, and that's what allows us to keep doing this thing for you. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.